episode. To the Puyo Podcast. I am your host, Eric, joined with Gonzalo.
Me.
And Josh.
What's up?
And we're going to talk about things and stuff.
My favorite.
Stuff and things?
Stuff.
Okay. Anything. So,
everybody loves a good stuff.
Okay, favorite puzzle games. Go.
Tetris.
It's just Johnny on the spot.
No, okay.
There's a topic. Go.
I think we should go by system. So we're gonna start obviously with the Genesis.
What? No, are you serious?
I'm kidding.
Oh.
That actually would be necessary for Eric because he probably has that many.
Magical Tetris on the N64. Klax.
I have like a top. 10, maybe?
No, it's more like a top 50.
Okay, let's go with, you.
America's Next Top 40.
American Gladiator. Because the controls are so fucking puzzling.
That's Oh,
that was cold.
Damn.
Okay, I guess I do have more than one. One's kind of a stretch, but I think it works.
There's a few puzzle games. I'm trying to think of one that I even like. Because everyone loves Tetris.
You like Dr. Mario.
Yeah, but that's Tetris.
Not really.
Sort of.
It's Tetris 2.
It's a spin-off of Tetris. Tetris 2 fucking blows. I was bamboo. I was the guy from Video Game Trading Post was like, "Hey, oh, you pick a free game. Oh, Tetris 2, that must be good, right?" Nope, got bamboozled on my free game.
I think everybody did.
I got Amagon.
You got Amagon, I got Archon. You got Tetris 2, so everybody got bamboozled.
Man, what a waste.
Yeah, it's free, whatever.
Yeah, it's exactly. True that. It was free $5.
I do game. Want Archon, though, just because Battle Chess.
I'll give it to you.
Oh, yeah, Archon was that really shitty chess game. Yeah.
It wasn't even chess, it was like, kind of, but not really.
It was chess, but then you fought, so it negated the whole point of chess.
You fight and you're like, yeah, and then you get back to it's like chess.
So good.
Oh man, I really
could that be considered a puzzle game then? Because that's definitely my worst right there.
Yeah, okay. We gotta go good first. So
okay.
Good. Gonzalo, gimme.
I'm telling you, I can't think of any.
Okay,
right
he's
now.
Useless. So Josh, you're next.
Damn.
Well, the game that actually inspired this topic has quickly become one of my favorites, which is Palamedes for the NES.
Not even good.
It's a quirky little dice-based puzzle game where you match up the dice pieces as they start to descend, very similar to like what Tetris does, just inverse. Instead of stacking on the bottom, you stack on the top. And you have to match up the numbers on the dice to eliminate them from play. And hopefully they don't reach the bottom. That's how you win. It's a very simple premise, but it's rather addicting. And it's a good game that both me and my girlfriend enjoy.
It is a good two-player game, I'll give it that.
It really is.
When it comes to puzzle games, if it doesn't have a good two-player mode, it probably doesn't have a good one-player mode.
Ooh. That's cold.
True that.
I did like that, and I'm going to have to pick up... How much... Like, does it go for?
It's cheap, man. It's under $10. Ooh. Another really good reason to get it.
I believe Hot B also made a bunch of other games. Maybe not a bunch, but like two more, probably. And I think one of them was another puzzle game. So, I'd say, maybe check it out.
Yeah, I guess I really only got one other one.
Okay.
And I guess it... Yeah, you know, I'm going to say it's a puzzle game. It's a puzzle game. It's Penguin Land for the Sega Master System.
Is it the one where you gotta move the blocks and crush creatures?
You gotta move the blocks to get your egg to the bottom of the screen
yeah,
without it breaking.
I've never played them.
It's actually really fun.
I'm gonna have to buy it.
Man, I enjoy it. Dude, I just realized how little puzzle games I play. Because I have, like, nothing.
I don't have a whole lot.
Well, I like puzzle games a lot.
But I have, I have two that I can put in the, I hate you so f***ing much section.
we'll get there, we'll get there. For the sake of me not just listing lists, I'll ask you guys if you've played these. So just give you a spreadsheet of all the...
Just bear with me.
Okay, so, we're gonna start with NES. And I'm going to just talk about puzzle games, more or less.
Oh, yeah.
I pretty much like them all.
Oh, wait, I got another one. Can I add one?
Yeah.
Can I add one? Okay. This is significantly more recent, but Catherine on the PS3.
Oh, yeah, that is a puzzle game, yeah.
That was actually, it wasn't what I was expecting, and I was kind of pissed at it at first, because I'm like, the hell did I just buy? And then I started playing it, and I'm like, okay, this is actually pretty fun. I can't be mad.
Did you get the version with the boxers and, like, the waifu pillow?
No, I did not get the collector's edition. One, too expensive. Two, I'm not that much of a weeaboo. We had to keep that under wraps. So,
don't want anybody to know.
I had to throw that little caveat in there. We got to pay homage to the more modern aspects of gaming on this show.
Yeah, you don't get many new puzzle games. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as elaborate as, like, that one. Pretty cool. But anyway, Liz, have either of you played Yoshi's Cookie before?
Yes.
No.
No? Josh, do you like it?
Not particularly.
It's really good for two-player, because it's like Tetris, how you can screw over the other person with, like, power-ups and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that part of it is really good. I personally like it. It's, like, in my top 10, probably.
Mm.
And then Yoshi is not my favorite one on the NES, but it still is good if you've played that.
I've not played that one.
It's the one where you have to, like, you get a bottom of an egg, and then you get anything in the middle, and then you have to find the top of the egg, and then it gets rid of the line of things.
I haven't played that one.
Yeah, it's...
I think I know what you're talking about, but I haven't played it.
It's okay, it's nothing special. The one that is special is Hatchress.
Hatchress.
Oh, horrible. Which has pretty darn good music. It's definitely one of my favorites because it's so stupid, but it's so good.
Hatchress stands for horrible Tetris.
Hey.
Whoa.
Hey, now. Those are fighting words. But.
Fucking try me.
But Hatchress. I don't know if it's two player. I don't really recall.
I don't think it was two player.
I don't know. I have the Famicom version of it. But. Really good. Fabulous.
Like Tetris. But with hats.
Yeah, why aren't we playing Wetrix?
Weetrix?
Wetrix. What Tetris?
Wetrix?
Wetrix?
Wetrix? Oh my guy, that's a good time.
My guy.
Oh god.
You read my mind, my guy.
And then you have everybody's favorite Tetris too on the NES. Everybody's favorite. We'll get back to that. My all-time favorite ones, though, off the top of my head.
Super Bassmaster.
So Super Bassmaster.
Boom.
That'd be sweet. Is, like, number one is Wario's Woods, because I played that competitively. But that one is definitely... It has, like, a certain level where once you... Like, when you go into it, you're gonna suck, no matter what. Like, it's hard to get to know what you're doing. But then once you get into it, and you realize, like, how to do things fast, it gets intense. Because just like Tetris, how you can screw over the other person, I used to play it for hours and hours, like, at a time, to the point where my eyes would hurt. But it wasn't just me playing it, I was playing it two-player, which made it even better. And it was, like, back and forth. And we had the save on a cartridge where it was, like, 23 to, like, 27. And that's, like, rounds of, like, 5 each.
Oh, wow.
But then the save died on it, which made me so sad. But that's what you get.
Mm.
But that is my favorite. Also, Magical Tetris Challenge. Magical Tetris Challenge!
The challenge of the challenge.
Is definitely my favorite, like, in the top three, because the music is freaking incredible.
It's definitely my favorite job three.
I didn't think about it.
And it's Disney.
And it's Disney because I enjoy Disney. But awesome two-player. The crazy mode where you get Wario's mustache-looking blocks and chandeliers and giant squares.
Oh my god, I hate that mode.
Oh, it's so good.
Dude, the music in that, I don't know. The music like brings it together. So it's so good. Jazzy. So much funk.
Mm-hmm.
Just smooth.
And lastly, another one that I used to play before we played Warriors Woods was Tetris Plus.
Oh!
Which, the certain mode where you have to save, like, the professor from walking into spikes mode and getting to the bottom of the screen. So much fun.
That really good really music. Fun. I had Tetris Plus in my car for a good amount of time. I just put it in the CD player so I could listen to the tunes.
Oh, yeah, you can do that. I forgot about that.
It doesn't have all of them, but it has enough. Enough to get you through the day.
So good. And throwing in there lastly is Tetris DS because 8 players DS, and it's awesome. And you get Mario characters.
Jesus Christ, this is the Tetris party.
This is a Tetris cast.
Thank you.
I'm kind of surprised you didn't mention one of the games that you use to name the podcast.
Oh, well, we never got a version of that technically, but
Puyo Pup's not even good.
Yes, what the podcast is named after is Puyo Puyo.
I don't know why we're not named Katamari Damacy Fever Ultra Evolution 2015 Ultra Max Edition
podcast.
Hyper.
But yeah, they came here as Kirby's Avalanche and Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
But then there's Puyo Pop Fever for the GameCube, and there's a couple other Puyo games that are out there.
That's the only ones I can really think of. That's good, too. It's in my top 10. It's not my favorite, but it's definitely something fun and different. It's kind of like Columns, but
Columns.
Columns is just like top 15 because it's okay, but it's match 3.
Put the Columns sideways, what do you get? Rose. Because it's back there. Because it's back there.
And Clax. I almost forgot. Holy crap.
He almost. I was really hoping for him to pass this section. Yeah. So I could have made fun of him for forgetting Clax.
That's like top zero. That is up there. Clax, I have an undying love for Clax. I don't know why. It's just so good.
Don't forget about Kix.
Kix. I could talk about this forever. I should stop. But Eric likes puzzle games.
Don't forget about Clue Clue Land.
And that's, snap. Oh my god. Okay, I'll just end with I like puzzle games and
just a touch.
And that's that. So moving right along swiftly and wonderfully.
Tetris 2 sucks.
Oh yeah, we're supposed to talk about the worst ones. Yeah. Okay. Tetris worst puzzle games 2 ever.
Sucks.
There's no good version of Tetris 2. It fooled every single person who ever decided to buy it. They're like Tetris times 2, like they made a better Tetris.
No, they just got shittier.
And apparently, whoever was making it for the SNES version was like, hey, my 3-year-old child, you want to draw this? Like, literally, it looks so bad. Like, it's terrible.
It plays horrible.
It plays... It's like Dr. Mario if Dr. Mario sucked.
It plays bad, it looks bad, and it should feel bad.
Oh, it feels bad. It never gets played. It's just sitting on my shelf with longing eyes, like... Eric, you love puzzle games. Why don't you love me?
I'm going to burn it.
Saying that, I still want the NES version because, I don't know, because I'm sadistic. Like
why?
Because you're you.
I'm surprised Sega isn't dead, to be honest.
They have their hands in a lot of other things that you wouldn't, like, realize.
It's probably, like, Bandai.
Well, that and arcades... Arcades are still pretty, are still really big in Japan, and they do a lot of arcade and then like mascot stuff where they have like the claw machines and stuff. They have a lot of other things that they do and outside of just their base console games and such.
A lot of people don't know that Sega owns other companies. Like Sega owns, I'm pretty sure they own Hudson Soft, and I know they own Atlas and.
Well, they own Hudson because Hudson's defunct now.
Yeah, but I know they own Atlas.
They just own all their IPs. Which is why we'll never see another Bloody Roar.
Or Bomberman. Sadly. But yeah, Atlas. Which, they're pumping out games like...
Yeah, because they make 2 seconds.
Well, not even that, but they're just bringing over all the Japanese games. They're just...
Yeah, Persona.
Yeah, Sega doesn't own Hudson. Konami does.
Konami does?
Hmm.
Well, that's even worse.
Back in 2012, they acquired Hudson.
Who does Sega own?
I don't know.
Do they have Atlas or XSEED?
It's Atlas.
It's probably Atlas, actually.
XSEED brings a lot of stuff over from Japan to the States.
Yeah. They bring a lot. Just honorable, stuff. Honorable work.
Yeah, they do a lot of good stuff.
Subsidiaries. Sega owns Atlas Creative Assembly, Demiurge Studios, Index Corporation, Marza Animation Planet, Relic Entertainment, Sports Interactive, Three Rings Design, and TMS Entertainment.
Also Sammy, I believe.
What did Sammy used to make? That's the... No, that's...
Well, Sega Sammy Holdings, Sammy's technically been Sega for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's why it's not considered a subsidiary.
Ah.
They also acquired... Huh, I didn't know that. Sega acquired Bally Manufacturing in 1984.
Really?
Oh, really?
Wow. Good for them. Holy shit.
I don't know if it still holds that, but that's kind of cool. I didn't know that.
I remember when Midway was a thing. I kind of miss Midway.
Midway presents...
They had Gauntlet.
Bullets 2000.
Oh, have you guys played the new Gauntlet for, like, the one that just got released in 2014?
I did not.
It was released on Steam, but then it got released on, like, PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah, because we both have PS4s and Xbox
You got
ones.
Steam, don't you,
it's on. It's on my list. It's on my Steam list. I've had it on there for a while.
It's really good.
Jesus, man.
Dude, you got put in your place, Eric. Jeez.
My God. My guy.
My guy.
It's really good. It's got, like, same screen co-op, which I really like. Oh, it kind of reminds me of, like, a poor man's Diablo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's more... pretty much what it is.
Yeah, because it's more focused on, like, fast-paced action. You can buy gear and runes and... You can get... Hey, you got runes in Gauntlet Dark Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Never played
You
it, really.
Found the 12th ruin! God damn it, that voiceover was so sick. The Suffering. Suffering 2 ties that bond. Area 51 remake.
I like that. That was fun.
That was actually a pretty fun game.
Narc.
Oh, don't.
The PS2 version?
Don't tease me. Narc.
Gauntlet 7 Sorrows, which wasn't that good.
I enjoyed it for what it was.
Next topic. For real. I have an email from Guild Wars 2. Fabulous.
Please come back and play.
No, not gonna happen.
Maximo.
Pokemans.
Gotta get you Mo.
Now, Gonzalo doesn't like Pokemon.
What about
right?
Pokemon?
So oh.
It's boring.
Well, you're boring.
That's
well, this is coming from the guy who doesn't like RPGs, so
yeah, I, really
I
like
guess
them.
That makes Woo! Sense.
If they're not action RPGs, I can barely even play them.
But you played Final Fantasy, that's turn-based.
13?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my first Final Fantasy.
But it's turn-based.
Yeah, I know.
And you said you like it.
I said I liked it, yeah. It's very few
that's
RPGs.
That's like every other RPG is turn-based.
Yeah, I know,
like
but
that.
Everything, like, I can't get any Yis. I didn't like that.
That's an action RPG, you turd.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is!
Turn-based.
Oh, let's just ask the guy who's never played it before.
Oh, look at this
shelf. Look at that shelf!
He kisses it to bed every night. I'm surprised I haven't played Kingdom Hearts, to be honest.
That's more action RPG.
Yeah. I should really pick that up.
It still cuts away, though, which would technically be turd-based. Maybe? I don't know.
What do you mean cuts away?
Well, when you get in a like in a fight, it cuts away.
Well, yeah,
Final
that's fine.
But it's action-y. Kind of, I don't know. It's it's like in between.
Like Final Fantasy Type-0?
Never played it.
Was good.
But anyway, Pokemon's... Josh.
Oh, speaking about Pokemon's, they just announced a new Pokemon that is fire and water.
How does that work?
I don't know, but this thing's been leaked like 2 years ago, and Nintendo just now confirms it.
What?
It's some weird-looking turtle thing. Cool figure,
turtle,
right?
Turtle that breathes fire?
I don't know what the hell it does.
Anyway. Anyway. Pokemon. Josh.
Pokemon, yes.
Did you watch the anime?
Yeah, I watched the TV show growing up.
And when did you stop?
Pretty much after the first season.
We're one Jenner's, my guy.
Are you talking about the first season once Ash...
Well, it was literally before? Just first gen.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's where you stopped. I stopped quite a bit later. Like, during... Once Brock left, that's when I stopped watching it.
Oh, the woman... Well,
yeah, because that's when, what's her name, May?
Yeah, with the
comes in
band thing.
Yeah.
I didn't like May. Because nobody can replace Misty.
Because that's when, like, Gen 2 came in.
No.
That was Gen 3.
That was Gen 3.
Was it Gen 3?
Yeah. Pretty sure. I don't know.
Because she had a Torchic, which is Gen 2.
But they can still have Gen.
Yeah, but they can still have
previous Gen stuff. Ash still has Pikachu throughout the whole thing.
Well, I know that, but she starts out with a Torchic, so why would she start out with a Gen 2 Pokemon in a Gen 3 season setting? That's where I'm at.
She was with Brock, and then finally Brock left to take care of his brothers and sisters.
Is that why he left?
Yeah, he had to go home and be a family man.
Damn. Yeah, he literally did because his dad has to go.
He's a badass. Brock was fucking awesome.
Flash kick.
Brock was awesome.
Yo,
Brock was the man. Who else runs through a thunderstorm with a pan over their head to block the rain? Brock. Because he's a badass who don't give no fucks about lightning. Yo. You know why? He's rock type. Through and through.
But he cares about water, though.
He does care about water.
He does care about water.
That's why he had to get that water off his head. He can't be having this water touching me, but that lightning, ain't shit. He didn't care. Love it.
But yeah, I got quite the soft spot for the Pokemon anime, because I love it so much.
It's pretty good. I mean, I even looking back at it, Ash's voice in that
anime
was god-awful.
Yeah, his voice was really, really high, but back then we didn't think twice about it.
And then Josh was gone forever into the abyss.
Yeah, very silent.
Talking about, I'm here.
It just went really quiet for 30 seconds.
Josh, everybody's just gone. But then, did you see the remake that they made? I want to say it was 2 years ago now?
For X and Y?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was actually really good.
And it was done in a completely different, like, animation style, and it was... It was really cool.
I
wanted them
to
do more of it, but
and it was like actually based on the game and stuff like that.
Yeah, because they were in pairs and all that. Yeah. I did not watch it fully though, but it was a big part of my childhood, so I have so much love for it.
I feel like the trading card game is better than the actual game.
Now, Josh, that brings up a good point. Did you have the cards?
Yeah, I had the cards. I didn't play the card game.
Nobody did.
But I did
what?
Collect
Are
the
you
cards.
Kidding me? Who didn't play the card game?
Me?
You chodes?
Yeah, I had a butt ton of Pokemon cards. The holographic Zubat.
No, dude, holographic Charizard.
Dude,
nothing.
Holographic Zubat. You can't find those every day.
Yeah, you can. You just go into a cave. You go like in a cave in Europe. It's just littered with holographic Zubat cards.
That's it? Yeah.
You go to like the deep of the Pacific Ocean. You find a shiny Gyarados Pokemon card. Red.
Red?
Red
this
Gyarados?
Actually, oh, the red Gyarados, yeah.
They had a red Gyarados?
Yeah, there was a red
That
Gyarados.
Was in...
Gold.
Silver
and gold?
Yeah,
silver and gold. Gold and yellow.
Gold and yellow.
And pearl. Pearl.
Crystal.
Well, whatever.
About. Yeah, that's right.
Pearl was...
Who knows about that, Pokemon? Pearl was DS.
Yeah.
Diamond and Pearl was DS. I don't remember the... Platinum?
Platinum, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know Pokemans, but... this is actually a fun little story that I remember from my childhood. At my particular school, Pokemon cards got banned because kids kept stealing other kids' Pokemon cards. So anytime a teacher would find someone with Pokemon cards in their possession, they would take them and give them to the principal. Mm. And I was a I was a troubled youth. So I saw the principal on a very frequent basis, and it was always fun for me to see his Pokemon collection grow, because he just had these stacks of cards, and it was just eventually turned into like a toolbox full of Pokemon cards that he had on the back of his desk. He had so many, but when he first like started collecting them, he had my holographic Machamp, and every time I went into the principal's office, it would stare at me, and I was like, Machamp, come back. I got even more sad, so I could fake cry really easily in front of him because I was just staring at my long lost Machamp.
Oh, but it was real crying.
It was real tears, but for a different reason.
Not Machamp.
Well, that's fabulous. I never had that at my school, though, sadly.
We lost our cards because it was cutting into productivity.
Same thing happened with Yu-Gi-Oh! And Beyblades.
Beyblades, really?
Dude, Beyblades were like... Beyblades were hot shit at my school. Like, that was like... Whoo! Man, every recess, dude. Busting out them Beyblades. Beyblades. And they didn't want us... Actually, another pretty fond memory of Pokemon was they didn't want us playing with like electronic games during recess. Like, they wanted us to be running around and whatever. But we always brought our Game Boys and shit anyway, because I mean, we're rebels. We got to play our Pokemans. So it was dead of winter. So there was still a lot of snow on the ground. It was really cold, and this kid wanted to trade me his Haunter so that it would become a Gengar. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do the same thing. So we like found this secluded spot on the playground, and we like sat up against a wall, and we funneled our arms into our sleeves, and we connected the link cable through our sleeves to each of our Pokemon games.
Wow.
Like, it was like, we thought we were, like, the sneakiest sons of bitches ever. Like, nobody's gonna figure this out. And then we, like, ducked our head inside of our coats so we could actually see what was going on.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, we were sneaky. We were rogues to the max. It was so good. Trading them Pokemons.
That's fabulous. I didn't have any stories like that. But I do remember trading some of my... Yu-Gi-Oh cards for Pokemon cards. Because I like Pokemon more.
I actually played the Yu-Gi-Oh card game.
Like, with the mats and everything?
Yeah, like a lot.
I have those mats too, still.
I still have at least one. We even got our sixth grade teacher into it.
Really?
We bought, like, all together for Christmas one year, like, me and, like, five other kids pooled our money together, and we actually bought him enough boosters to make a deck. And we gave him a deck for Christmas, and then we would stay inside and at recess, and we would all play Yu-Gi-Oh! Together, including our teacher.
That's awesome.
Our teacher was badass. Like, he would bring in Crash Bandicoot for us to play and shit. Like, he was awesome.
Aww.
My sixth grade teacher was awesome, man. We would talk about video games. We would play Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, it was legit.
God dang it. It's not fair.
Mr. Thompson was his name.
Sounds cool, like cool, a winner.
Cool guy. Swell fella.
Do you still have your Pokemon cards or Yu-Gi-Oh cards?
Pokemon cards, no. Yu-Gi-Oh cards, yes.
We should play Yu-Gi-Oh sometime, because I got some Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
What are you, two?
You're going to have to tell me how to play, because I have no clue.
We're not playing by Gen 1 rules, because it'll be over in 2 seconds.
I'll bring my own mat.
Oh. You're gonna turn to left defense mode. Dude,
can you play multiplayer? Is it just two or one on one, or is it like?
You can do. Me and my friends used to do like three people battles, where like you could set up like temporary alliances and then betray the fuck out of each other at the end, which was really fun.
Okay.
And then there's, like, tag team battles, too, like, where it's 2v2. There's actual, like, set up rules for that. And it was... Yeah, I mean, you can pretty much do it however you want to. I mean, it'd probably get kind of sloppy eventually. Like, if you start adding, like, 5 or 6 people into it, I think that would get a little too complex to be fun anymore.
Mm.
But...
Yeah. You can buy the gauntlets for the Yu-Gi-Oh! Things where it's, like, slots.
Oh, yeah, the freaking...
The dual disc system.
Yeah.
Developed by Seto Kaiba. Oh, man. Who talks like Brock from Pokemon.
Did you ever play Magic at all?
I tried to get into Magic. Because when Magic was, like, getting big when I was in school, was with the... like the middle schoolers.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't in that group, and I tried to get into it, but I couldn't. And I got a lot of people now that a lot of people that I play D&D with play Magic, and I've dabbled in it, but it's a bit too in depth for me to care at this point.
It's not that in depth. I've played it a couple times. It's enjoyable, but I'd have to have, like, multiple people
to get a to get a true relevant deck against other people to play against. You need to put way too much money in it.
Yeah,
and like people spending like a couple $100 on a box just so they can hopefully get like one particular card. Like that's nuts to me.
Yeah,
I can't do it, and like. They sell a lot of Magic cards at the game shops I go to for my D&D stuff, and I was there one time when one guy did this. Like, he bought 2 boxed sets of the boosters, which was like $270 or some shit.
Woo.
And I'm like, oh my god. And he's like, well, let's just open them right now, see what happens. And then he opens them up, and he opens one, and he's like, boom, right there, worth it for this one card right here. This one card makes up for all the money I just spent. And I'm like, and you're going to sell it, right? But I guess it's just a different perspective, because people would say the same thing about what I do with video games, so...
Yeah.
I just don't understand it. I don't get into it. Can't dig it.
Have you ever played the Yu Yu Hakusho card game? I'm just kidding.
Get the hell out of here.
Hey, I found those at a flea market. I was like, yes? Yeah.
One thing I can say about the Magic the Gathering stuff is the artwork on them is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love the artwork on them. Like, that is... Like, some of those I would be cool with just, like, framing and having that set there. Because, like, they're really intricate pieces of art.
Yeah, they're really old, too. Like, Magic's been around for a while.
Mm, if you get some, like, the original sets, those are really cool, too.
Yeah. My sisters both have decks, and they've played a couple times. But I've joined them playing, and I actually quite enjoyed when I did play it. But it just like you said, the monetary aspect of it turned me off. Like...
Mm.
If I were to find, like, a deck or, like, a lot of cards somewhere for cheap, like at a Goodwill or somewhere else, then I would do it, but as of now, I'm not going to spend that money on cards, you know?
And then I think the thing that irks me the most about it is if you want to play, like, at a game store with other people in, like, tournaments, but with other people like that, every time they come out with a new card set, it negates older card sets, so you were forced to buy the new versions of the cards because a lot of the old ones just aren't either relevant or don't work with the new rule set.
Yeah,
which is like, it's just, you're just pissing money, you're just hemorrhaging it. And I just don't understand how people can get that committed to it. That's, I think, the thing that I just can't grasp the most is like, yeah, you spent $270 on cards that are going to be completely irrelevant to the game in 3 months.
Yeah, well, you could always just play with the old
rules. Oh, yeah, playing for fun and whatever, I understand that, like if you have a group of friends, but I don't know. It's just weird to me.
Yeah, we should definitely play Yu-Gi-Oh! Though, because I want to try
it. Dude, I'm down. always down for some Yu-Gi-Oh battles. I will show you the end of Duel Master. I have enough to make like 12 or 15 decks.
Oh Jesus! I think I have enough to make like 5 or so.
I have themed decks, man. I have like a spellcaster themed deck. I have a dragon themed deck. I got a lot. I haven't looked at them in a long time, but they're still there.
It's a good excuse to do that. Oh, I have a good story about my Pokemon cards.
Ooh, Pokemon.
When I had them in a, like a binder thing that you put cards into, and I
fifth place.
And it's I wanted to get one that was like a Pokemon picture on the front because Pokemon
exactly.
And but I didn't get one, and my sister gave me hers that happened to have freaking Pocahontas on the front of it. So I had to take a piece of paper and cover and put over it and write like Pokemon and like draw a picture on it. And when people would ask me, I'd just be like, oh, I ripped the cover on it, so I just put this over it. But in actuality, it's a freaking Pocahontas one.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah. I don't think I have it anymore, but...
Oh, that would make it so much better.
It was beautiful. All right, we'll call you back.
Righteous. Righteous.
Peace out. Moves somewhat perfectly into going off of card games, going into the video game versions of those. Not going to talk about Pokemon first because that we can talk about it. Stop it, me. Yu-Gi-Oh! Video games. Have you played them, Josh?
A certain amount of them, yes.
I have them, but I haven't played them because I don't understand.
Which ones do you have?
Oh, dude, when
Forbidden Memories?
Forbidden Memories is so good!
The PS1 and then the Xbox
One. Just got trolled looking for that game at Goodwill.
But then we found it.
Yeah, but you opened it up and it was like Ashley and Tisdale.
Yeah,
no,
I was Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Whatever.
It was a Mary-Kate and Ashley PS1 game. I was real mad.
I told him, check the case before you
buy it. We got up to the counter, and I was one person away in line. I'm like, all right, maybe I should check it. And I open it up, and it's Mary-Kate and Ashley. I was like, So I just bought the case for 50 cents. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's what you gotta do.
No, I got the case. And then I found it, and my life was complete.
With the... Yu-Gi-Oh! Games that you've played, since I've never played them. Do you like them? Are they good? Like, I don't know.
Forbidden Memories is a good game. It does have a rather different take on the card game. Mm-hmm. Like, you need the manual for that game. You absolutely need it. Yeah. If you try and play it without it, you are going to get wrecked so hard, so fast, that you'll probably just take the disc out and never look at it again. Hmm. Because normally the game operates as you lay down a monster, and then you can sacrifice that monster to bring out a more powerful one. Because if they have a certain amount of stars, they can't come out on the field unless you have one sacrificed. Hmm. But the way Forbidden Memories works is if you can combine two cards... And it's a very particular list of what cards you can combine. It has to be set in the right direction. So, like, if you have the two cards, but you put the wrong one first, it just will negate the first card and then play down one of them. So you thought you were going to have something that has a decent amount of attack power, and then you play something that has, like, 350, and you just get fucked. Hmm. So it's weird. It's complicated. It makes you, for someone who knows how to play the card game in real life, you have to relearn how to play it. Mm-hmm. You have to forget everything that you thought you knew and dedicate yourself to this new rule set. So it's good, but you kind of have to take it at its own thing.
Yeah.
And then after that point, they started to get a little bit, they've started to follow more closely to the actual tied in card game. Yeah. So like the one that you have for Xbox is like Millennium Duel or something, right? I'm pretty sure. Because I think there's only like two or three on the Xbox.
Let me go grab it. I got my Forbidden Memories at Goodwill too.
Apparently Goodwill is where you can just find Forbidden Memories.
Apparently. I also found, Josh, if you ever played Digimon Digital Card Battle for the PS1, I know you like Digimon World, so you might like the Card Battler? I don't know.
Monster Rancher.
Oh yeah, Monster Rancher has another one too. Also, yeah, the Dawn of Destiny.
I don't know, for the most part, I don't like card-based video games.
If you like card-based video games, Lost Kingdoms is the place to go, because it's action RPG card-based combat.
Ooh. I think the video game that does it the best would be Pokemon card game. What is it called?
You are actually incorrect. The best game that has a card game battle system in it is clearly Final Fantasy VIII. So,
well, yeah, that's right.
It's not like the mainstay of it, though.
I beg to differ. That's how you get the best weapons in the game.
Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories does that too, and that.
Yeah, but Kingdom Hearts really Chain of Memories is Kingdom Hearts, so it's not even good.
I am so
surprised. I don't like Kingdom Hearts.
Is that like a castle made out of like heart cards? You know how there's
harp
like
cards?
Cards of houses?
ARP cards?
House of cards.
House of cards.
But with just hearts. House of hearts.
House of heart cards.
I'm gonna power bomb me through that
clock. Dude, you can't even squat 180. How do you expect to pick
Yeah, because squat equals power bomb.
Can't
yeah.
Even bench.
I do math.
Do you even lift, bro?
Yeah. Do you even odd?
Fantastic.
Dude, I've learned a couple moves. I got the choke slam. My dad did that to me one time. It was really cool. Got choke slam into a mattress.
Get choke slammed by your dad.
That's yeah, dude. Fantastic, actually.
Yeah. Me and him used to watch wrestling.
The one game that I do really want to play that is a card-based game is Culdcept Saga for the 360.
What is it called?
Never heard of that.
Culdcept?
Culdcept. Culdcept.
I don't think that's in the English dictionary.
Yeah, here we go. Magic meets Monopoly game franchise.
What?
What? That sounds terrible.
So unplayful.
Give the...
Sounds like a piece of shit.
Hold on. Here we go. As in Monopoly, players in Culdcept Saga roll dice and move around a game board, attempting to claim spaces and assess fees against other scepters who land there. Unlike Monopoly, squares are claimed by summoning creatures to guard them. And players who land on them can opt to challenge this creature with their own rather than pay the toll. If successful, the challenger claims ownership of the square. The winner of the game is the first player to return to the starting location after amassing a sufficient quantity of magic. And each card is a different creature that you can summon, and you can customize your deck, and so on and so forth. So it actually sounds like it could be a really fun game. I remember seeing it, especially when I worked at GameStop. It didn't come in very often, which is another reason why I kind of want it. And it has a really cool looking art style too. So,
Buckety buck.
It's probably cheap, I imagine, because it's 360.
But... yeah, it's not expensive. Like Complete, I think it's like $15 or something. Which is more expensive than what it was when I worked at GameStop. But actually, you know what? The GameStop price is probably still dirt cheap because it's GameStop. It's
GameStop, yeah.
And you'll be able to find it for sure.
Okay, actually, yeah, this is actually something I did really want to talk about. So last week, I listened to a podcast. I'm going to leave that nameless.
What? Kind of bad.
I'm going to leave the actual podcast name out of it. But this gentleman on this podcast was a fellow game collector. And he was co-host of this show with another game collector. And he had recently decided that he was going to sell all of his physical video games. And I'm like, okay, I guess, like, you know, you're not going to play them. Like, you don't want them anymore, whatever. I understand that. But the way he defended his reasoning that I couldn't wrap my head around was he pretty much came out and said he didn't need the physical versions anymore because the game industry is going almost 100% digital. So he saw the physical games as completely unnecessary.
Well, I got a few things to say about this.
I can see that.
As if he had no connection to the physical item itself, and was totally fine playing things emulated 100%.
Now, did he have a large collection or not?
Well, they continue to refer to it as a large collection, and the number that they put out was around 300 games.
That's not.
That was my my reaction to it, but what I thought was interesting for this podcast was he brought his wife onto the podcast with him, and his wife was upset with him selling these games. Like, they had talked about it, and he had said that he mentioned that he wanted to sell all of them, and she said, "You shouldn't do it," and he did it anyway.
So, oh, it's usually the other way around.
Exactly, which I thought was interesting. And the point that she brought up was it wasn't worth the little bit of money that they got because they have a son and they could have, like, she wanted to show him all of these things. Like, this is how your father played games and how, like, into it he was. And this is how it was back in when he was your age, as opposed to what it's going to be, because everybody says that it's going to be going 100% digital. I don't believe it's going to go to 100% digital. I think it'll be a significant margin more digital, but I don't think it'll ever be completely digital media. But it's going to be a very different landscape to what it was in the 80s. Definitely. So having those physical things and showing, like, this is what the packaging looked like, this is what all this stuff looked like, I completely agreed with her saying this would be really cool to show another generation that. And he was the exact opposite, saying, no, we can just boot it up on a computer and I can show him then.
Kids go more with physical things than with that, because if I'm a little kid and I'm on a computer, I'm not going to have the attention span to, like, look through a list of games. No, if I have it, I'll look at the picture and I'll be like, what's this? And then you'll plug it in and then play it. Mm-hmm. A kid would be more inclined to do that than to look at a list of names.
Exactly. Like, I feel that way too. But Gonzalo, I really want to hear your input on this. I really want to hear how you feel about this.
My input? Made me think about a whole completely different other thing, because it made me think of the situation of people selling their video games for, like, other stuff, like they're getting married and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, because it's completely useless, I don't think he just didn't have any emotion or appreciation for the physical thing, and he just wanted to, like, make room or get some cash or something, and he's like, why put in the extra work to get up, take out the disc, put it back in its case, take another case, put it back in the system when you can just boot it up. Yeah, I know. But that makes me think, like, in my case, like, all right, whole different scenario. I'm getting married, right?
You're getting married?
No. Okay, whatever.
That's true. We did say that earlier in this podcast. So.
But if I was getting married and I had to sell some of my video games to support the wedding, like a good chunk of it, I'd probably do it.
No, and that I completely understand. And that I feel like I would do in that situation as well.
Like, yeah, like I would.
If we came across like some big life changing event that was like, hey, we need a good amount of money and we need it fast.
If like my wife was like, we need some money, we should probably think about selling your video games. We'd be like,
you could probably think about getting out.
I'd be like, okay, you know what? We could do that. Because, dude, if I get married and have a kid, I'm not going to have time to play those games anymore, man.
That's not true.
I'd rather be spending my time with my kid and going outside with my family and doing stuff like that, you know, like...
Why? It sounds like you're just going to give it up easily versus...
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not into it as much as you guys are. Like, don't get me wrong, I like retro collecting and stuff like that and going out and shopping and playing old games. But it was, like, between getting married and selling most of my stuff for that, yeah, I'd probably do it.
I think the difference between us is, I don't know if you're gonna be keep on doing it like later in life versus, I'm pretty sure Josh, if you're with me, I'm gonna keep doing it.
I mean, I feel like it's a part of me deep enough to this point that I don't think it'll ever stop. I feel like it'll probably slow down.
I'm to that point, but 7 years later, I'm still doing it, and I enjoy every second of it.
So. Yeah, I don't think it'll be as prevalent as it is in my life right now, but I really hold on to that image in my head of showing my children this stuff, like what I had when I was a kid, what I played with, having the original physical thing. And that was a big point that they brought up in the podcast, that he either didn't understand that aspect of it or he just really didn't care about that. He's just like, if they want to see what I played and what I played on when I was younger, we can go on the internet and I can show them a picture of it. And I'm like that's... there's nowhere near the same level of experience from that. Like, it's a completely different thing. So far removed from what the true experience is. Like, anybody can download a collection of ROMs and boot it up on your computer and have literally an entire NES library in 10 minutes. And... But actually having all those physical things, being able to touch them, being able to look at them, being able to actually put them in the system and play it the way it was back then, it's just something so much more special about it that it's hard to explain. And
yeah,
it's even harder to convey without having that in front of you.
It's like if you look at a picture of an old car and you're not going to know how it's going to drive. You don't know how it's going to feel. Like... it's exactly like that. Like, they won't know the feeling of doing it, because it's not just about the game itself, but, like, the putting it in, having to take it out, blow on it, the feel of the controller in your hand, the problems with, I don't know, getting it to work, having it on the tube TV, all that. Mm-hmm. That's part of the experience of the game.
That's exactly how I feel. Completely how I feel about it.
That's why when I play a game, I have to play it on the original hardware, the original version, and if it was meant to be on a tube TV, I will play it on a tube TV. Another thing with him selling everything, like, I don't know if... I feel like this kind of relates to me, but when you have... like, a lot of the games that I have, like, everybody's got, like, the top tens, like, everybody has, like, F-Zero, Mario, Sonic, blah, blah, but... it's the other games that I find that aren't in the top 10 that, like, is rewarding, and when I find out that I really like them, and then I get into that series, that's rewarding. And if you do something like... if he's gonna download it from, like, a subscription, or, like, a service like PSN, or, like, the Virtual Console and stuff, a lot of the times, those games aren't gonna be on there, because
That is very true, yeah.
Like, any Hudson Soft game is not going to be on any virtual console because they're out of business, and you won't be able to get anything like that if he's going to do it that way. And a lot of the times, finding a game that you like is going out there and finding a random game and buying it and trying it versus looking at a list. And I know for a fact that he's not going to go through a list and play every single one and give it the time of day.
Yeah.
So he's going to be limiting himself from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I thought it was. I just thought it was an interesting take, an interesting look at what we do, and I was really curious to see Gonzalo's opinion on it because I feel like he and I are in a more similar state of mind in our old age. Because we're the old men.
So we're still... Well, I'm the same way.
No, you're not, dude. Here. Your friends aren't getting married left and right.
Well, that's not true at all.
Okay, name one friend that's getting married.
You? You said you're getting married.
Oh my! Yeah, me and like Josh especially, dude. Like he's pretty much, he's committed.
Committed.
To the end.
So.
That was a good topic.
Eric, if you had to sell your games, what games would you keep? And you only got a selection of 10 games.
I would keep.
That's a tough question.
I keep.
It's not that easy, dude. You can't just answer.
No, it's not. I could just name off my favorite games.
Okay, well then name off your favorite games.
Star Control 2 is definitely on there because I could play that for literally ever.
Okay.
Probably Ys 1 and 2, because those are a combined game, and also Ys 3, so that's two separate games.
Okay.
Majora's Mask.
Really?
Yes, I like Majora's Mask. Screw up.
Yuck.
Probably Mario 3D World, because I incredibly enjoy that game with every fiber of my being. Some type of puzzle game, I don't know which one. Just
for your sake, Magical Tetris.
Yeah, Magical Tetris, probably. how many more do I have? Like,
you two? Got four left.
I got four left. Spyro.
Oh, good choice. Hell yeah. Hero 1,
definitely. Can I take the collector's edition?
Yeah, you can take the collector's
okay,
edition.
Okay, alright.
Anything counts.
Anything counts? Alright.
So if you want like a compilation disc, you can do that.
Yeah. Give me an Atari compilation disc.
Because
I enjoy those.
Okay.
Games.
You got two left.
I got two left. Pokemon Red.
Okay.
And then for the last one, I got it. The entire Genesis library.
So you're talking about Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection for PS3?
No,
because it's got like
it does have a really good amount on there.
I'll throw one of those in there.
Okay, so that's what you get. Because it's got like 40 games of like Genesis games.
I'll take out the Atari collection and I'll put in Dragon Quest VIII.
Okay, there. Ooh, nice save.
That's a good save.
Yeah,
I've almost forgot about that.
Josh, your turn.
Wait, hold on.
Okay.
And it's not like I picked the most expensive things that I had. I picked the things that meant the most.
Well,
to me.
That's how it should be. Because if you're gonna, that's the thing that pisses me off is shitty games are expensive.
I could care less about the price of anything that I have because the things that I have are the things that I enjoy, and that's the way it should be.
Damn, speaking the truth.
Damn, yeah, too bad a lot of people can't see that.
Yeah. Oh, I gotta get bubble bath babies. Why do you want that? It's bad.
But it's expensive.
8-bit titties. Oh,
if I saw it, I'd buy it if it was a good price, because I enjoy puzzle games, but that's just me. If there was a sexy version of Klax, I'd buy it.
Probably would.
I would buy it.
Sexy Klax.
Sexy Klax. Sounds like a disease.
I'm going to change the name to the Klax Cast.
There you go. I like that.
Do it. Josh, go ahead.
My turn, huh?
You only get three.
No, oh, jeez.
2.5.
Yeah, why don't we just make it a little bit next to impossible? Okay. Well, I'm going to start off with Turtles in Time, of course.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because I can play that game for eons.
You can never get tired of that game. I
get bored of it.
It's got such good music.
Mega Man X, because I have so many fond memories of playing through it. Mm. And I have, it's one of those games I love. This is...
Clax.
Yeah, you didn't say Clax.
No, I said a puzzle game. I don't know which one. And you said Magical Tetris.
And you did say Magical Tetris. So...
Yeah.
Oh, God, this is hard.
I don't love it that much.
Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 2.
Ooh.
I'll throw that one in there. A lot of good memories with that one. Battle Hunter.
Oh, hell yeah.
Gotta throw my Battle Hunter in there. Oh, what else we got? Man, this is tough. I'll probably throw We'll go Tekken 6.
Tekken 6?
As
okay.
opposed to Tag Tournament 2. That was the one that I really, really got into. Let's see here. Is this games from my collection only?
No, it... Well... Yes.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah.
I gotta throw a Tetris game in there, so I'm probably gonna throw Tetris Plus.
Good choice. You really want Tetris in your list?
I do.
I know you liked it that much.
I mean, I enjoy Tetris, but I'm assuming that this would also be for other people in my family as well, so that's kind of a, that's kind of a joint pick between me and, me and Rachel there.
Gotcha.
So.
Nice clicking.
nice clicking. Yes. What am I at now? What am I at?
You're at 6.
At 6. Okay. Oh boy. Getting down to the gritty. Oh man, this is really fucking tough.
It's just off the cuff. I forgot a bunch.
It's like really tough, man. Jesus. Gotta throw a racing game in there, so we'll probably throw, Cruisin' World in that one, because I prefer that one over Cruisin' in the USA.
Not Outrun Coast to Coast?
That was my second choice.
That game is so good.
I don't get second choices, so I gotta go with the first. And, Fist of the North, Sarkhan's Rage 2.
Oh, yes.
I gotta have that in there.
Hell yeah.
That is a necessity. Because I still go back to that game and play. I got one left, right?
Two.
Two left? Okay. Okay, that's slightly better. We're gonna hit up...
You can feel the... The sweat beads. Oh,
God, dude, the tension is high. It's just the weight on my shoulders.
Crack a walnut with your ass cheeks.
We'll throw in some co-op. We'll throw in some Zombies Ate My Neighbors, SNES version, as opposed to the Genesis version. And Pokemon Blue.
Okay.
Pokemon Blue.
Then we can battle.
okay. Alright.
What about you, Gonzalo? Oh,
damn. Lindsay's turn.
That's it. Game over, my guy.
Put you on blast, my guy.
Okay. First one would have to be
Clax.
Clax 9 times.
Clax just everywhere. No. All
every version.
Yeah, every version. Just take it all.
And the arcade cabinet.
Alright, I would take Contra 3. For obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. I can't get enough of it.
Alright.
Okay. Demon's Crest. Gotta have that. Mega Man X Collection for the PS2.
Oh, good.
Because you can't get enough Mega Man X. I'm not going to include the OG because got to have one or the other.
I mean, you can have both, but I guess.
I mean, I don't want...
That'll just pick up another spot.
Well, yeah, but
it's
like,
up to you!
The NES versions just kind of get kind of old, to be honest. And I'd only want Mega Man 8.
Mega Man 8's pretty good. That music.
Yeah. Fucking tough.
This is fucking hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Jurassic Park for the Sega CD.
Oh, dude, I forgot Jurassic Park for Super Nintendo.
Oh, that's right.
Triceratops.
The pan flute. Yeah, that's
so good.
Super Street Fighter 4. Well, Ultra Street Fighter 4 now.
Okay.
Just say Street Fighter
5. Well, Street Fighter 5 is not out yet. I don't have it in my collection. Gotta have a beat 'em up in there somewhere.
Hatchers.
No.
River City Ransom. Crap.
Final Fight 2. Because I do have the Japanese card.
Oh, yeah, you do.
And oh my god, this gets worse. The higher you go up. NFL Blitz. Gotta have a sports game in there.
Oh, no. He took my NFL Blitz.
No!
He's gonna track this up. He's gonna get better than me.
Not after that fucking like 0-49 whooping.
Still got that picture evidence saved.
I'm gonna go over the interwebs and delete that.
Oh, don't worry. I got it backed up.
You should put that in a clip somewhere.
I got backup on my backups.
That was a horrible beating.
Okay. Bullets. And then. That's five, correct?
Capcom Classics Collection, Volume 2.
Okay.
Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
Okay. Not the one for Genesis?
I don't have the Genesis one.
Okay. Well, come on.
Well, I have the arcade version.
Well, I mean, you do. Because you know you do. It's just...
I know I do, but it's not in my house.
All right.
You can still count it.
Secret of Mana. 3-player co-op RPG.
But you don't like RPG.
Yeah,
it's action RPG.
I say he does enjoy that one. We did play that
Secret
one.
Secret of Evermore?
I never played Secret of Evermore.
It's not that bad.
What do I want for my last one?
Tetris 2.
No.
Yes.
I need a little bit more variety.
Throw a puzzle game in there. You don't have one.
I don't play puzzle games.
We can change that.
Yeah, Eric can definitely change that very quickly.
Just slide in that Klax and best for last. Just
Hydro Thunder.
Ooh.
What version?
PS1.
There you go. Actually, Dream.
Actually, does the N64? Well, I only have the PS1, so whatever. Fuck it.
It still is the same.
Damn, that's hard, dude. The higher you go up in numbers, the harder it
gets. Oh yeah, dude. It's really tough.
Yeah. I'd be hard with 100. I'd be like, ugh.
Yeah, shit.
All right, gents. Right. You want to close out the podcast so you have a ending clip?
I am not a freaking type of music.
Podcast over. Podcast done.
That's it?
Yep. Well, until the next Puyo Pop, what's like the highest streak you can get? Because you know how in Tetris you can get Tetris? What's the highest?
In Puyo? I don't know.
I think they probably call it a Puyo.
Until the next Puyo Pop. That sounds disgusting.
Should we have a closing?
I don't know.
Yeah, why not?
I usually just record myself talking after.
Okay.
And say, what did you put? If any of you losers listen to the podcast.
To the two people out there that actually
To be fair, I listen to the podcast, but I don't listen to it, all of it, in its 100% entirety.
I have to. Multiple times.
Well, you're editing it, so that's completely different.
When I listen to podcasts, I never give it 100%. I always like listening from bits and pieces.
Well, I'm different.
Well, yes,
you are. I'm different.
All right, gents.
Peace out.
See you.
I want my hair back and forth.
Thank you for listening to episode 4, and stay tuned for episode 5.